Good afternoon. CRTV's afternoon edition with Doris Batetato Ekwe. In our top stories, 300 million households in Africa, including Cameroon, will in the days ahead benefit from a World Bank-sponsored project to provide them with electricity. The information was disclosed today in Yaoundé by a visiting World Bank official. Out of Cameroon, the brutal rape and murder of a 7-year-old girl has sparked outrage in Ethiopia. Popular opinion there is unanimous that the 25-year jail term slammed on the perpetrator is too lenient. And in sports, the two Cameroonian clubs in continental competition have failed to stamp their mark on their first leg fixtures. In the CAF Champions League, Victoria United were beaten 0-1 in Douala by Smartex of Ghana, while Fovu were overpowered 4-0 in Liberia by local side Pennsville FC in the CAF Confederations Cup. A development of these stories and more right ahead. But first, the news bulletin.
Hello, I'm Winston Lepka. Cameroon has established a new partnership framework with the World Bank that includes the country benefiting from an additional financial package of over 1,000 billion. The new country partnership was at the center of discussions today during an audience the director of the Africa Group 2 of the World Bank Group, Abdou Salam Bello, was granted with Cameroon's minister in charge of the economy, Alamin Ousmane May. Bookshops in Yaoundé are reportedly experiencing a remarkable increase in the demand for textbooks and exercise books a few days or a few weeks to school reopening day. Reports say not all the textbooks are available, given the minor changes on the book list. A man called Achille Abeng Abosolo has been arrested in connection with attempted fraud and usurpation of identity. The man operated under the alias Felix Mbayu, using the identity of the minister delegate to the Minister of External Relations in charge of cooperation with the Commonwealth. He employed the impersonation in a move to extort money from the Democratic Republic of Congo's ambassador to Cameroon. The Wives of Policemen Association, known by the acronym POWA, has educated some widows in Yaoundé on the importance of knowing their rights. This on the occasion of the first edition of the National Security Widows Day that was chaired by the Minister in Charge of Women's Empowerment, Professor Marie-Thérèse Abena-Ondua. The widows were drilled in matters pertaining to pension-related procedures, death benefits, and the rights of their children. Abroad, Ethiopians have been outraged by news of the brutal rape of a girl aged 7. The girl, Heaven Awut, was sexually assaulted, mutilated, and killed by her mother's landlord, Getnet Bayi, in the city of Bayidar in the Amhara region. Getnet was sentenced to 25 years in prison. Over 200,000 people are arguing that the sentence is too lenient and have signed an online petition demanding a review of that sentence. Sports, football. Cameroon's football fans continue to be in the throes of despair concerning the performance of local teams in the CAF competitions. In the Champions League, Victoria United were beaten in Douala by Ghanaian outfit Samatex, 1-0. In the Confederations Cup, Fovu of Baham were walloped 4-0 in Liberia by Pennsville FC. The two teams to qualify for League 2 in the new football season in Cameroon are Atlantic Sports Academy of Kribi and Union Sportive of Abombang. Atlantic emerged champions of the national interpools by beating Union Sportive 1-0 at the Nguaikele Stadium in Yaoundé. And that's the bulletin.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
CRTV's afternoon edition.
We set the pace. CRTV's afternoon edition.
Connecting people.
And you're welcome back. The Minister of the Economy, Planning and Regional Development, Alamin Usman May, has received in audience the visiting executive director of the Africa Group 2 of the World Bank Group, Abdul Salam Bello. Discussions between the two personalities centered around the new country partnership framework from which Cameroon has benefited an additional 1,208 billion CFA francs from the World Bank Group. Ngo Henry now presents the new partnership framework between Cameroon and the World Bank Group in this report.
The new country partnership framework of last July the 23rd focuses on two high-level outcomes: more and better jobs and more effective and inclusive service delivery institutions, with a special attention on climate and fragility. It covers the period 2025 to 2029 and aims at supporting the country's vision 2035 of becoming an emerging country, democratic and united in its diversity. The partnership between Cameroon and the World Bank Group lays the foundation for economic transformation to benefit every citizen and recognizes the country's leading role in supporting stability and acting as an economic engine of the sub-region. The framework reflects the strong and growing collaboration between Cameroon and the World Bank Group institutions. The World Bank will inject the sum of over 1,208 billion CFA francs to the country partnership framework, adding to the current 2,538 billion from the institution to projects in the country. The private sector has a key role to play in expanding renewable energy solutions, enhancing agricultural productivity, bridging the infrastructure gap, and increasing financing for micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises in Cameroon.
Cameroon will benefit from a World Bank-sponsored project to extend electricity to some 300 million households in Africa. This was made known by the visiting executive director of the Africa Group 2 of the World Bank Group, Abdul Salam Bello, after the audience with Minister Lamin Usman May today. He was interviewed by staffman Ngo Henry.
We have been looking at how really to make sure that the country receives the best benefits for that program. So how to make sure that the capacities are there, what are the reforms that need to be put in place. But also we discuss other dimensions such as the energy sector. We will be visiting Nachtigal tomorrow. But going forward, the bank has also developed a strategy for energy in Africa by 2030, connecting 300 million Africans to electricity. So there is an opportunity to learn from the Cameroon experience in energy sector, but also from the generation, transmission, distribution. Nachtigal is a good program for the institution because it brings together the three entities of that group, meaning the AIDA, the IFC, the MIGA, so the public sector, the private sector, the guarantee mechanism, bringing together to support, accelerate the access to electricity for the country. So in this regard, what is important is to showcase and to learn from the Cameroonian experience on one hand, but also to see how Cameroon can keep benefiting from the support and to scale up this access to energy.
That was the executive director of the Africa Group 2 of the World Bank Group, Abdul Salam Bello, talking to Ngo Henry. The official commissioning of installations of the drinking water supply projects got the city of Yaoundé and its surrounding takes place tomorrow in Bachenga in Lekki Division of the Center Region. The imminent commissioning of the project will help to substantially reduce potable water deficit in Yaoundé. Belinda Shaw presents the drinking water supply project ahead of tomorrow's event. Her report.
The drinking water supply project for Yaoundé and its surroundings is tapped from the Sanaga River. The life-giving project is part of President Paul Biya's Great Opportunities Program, launched several years ago in connection with his 2035 Emergence Vision for Cameroon. An additional 300,000 meters cube of the precious liquid will be produced daily by the project in the current phase. In anticipation, an extended 400,000 meters cube of water will be produced daily in the later phase of the project. Populations residing in Yaoundé and surrounding localities such as Bachenga, Obala and Nyom are the beneficiaries of the drinking water supply project. In essence, the project would balance up supply and demand, with a current deficit estimated at 250,000 meters cubed daily. The drinking water supply project will rely totally on the force of gravity for distribution, implying a water tower is needless. Components of the project include the raw water catchment, pumping station, the water treatment plant, and income to 225 kilovolt substation, and power transmission lines. For the record, the drinking water supply project for Yaoundé and its surroundings is financed with a loan from China Exim Bank worth the sum of 399 billion CFA francs. The project is executed by a Chinese firm.
Widows in Cameroon have been encouraged to know their rights as well as administrative procedures relating to pension, death benefits, and the rights of their children. They were motivated in Yaoundé today during a ceremony to commemorate the first edition of the Day of National Security Widows, organized by the Police Women's Wives Association, known as POWA. The event, which was chaired by the Minister of Women's Empowerment and the Family, Professor Marie-Thérèse Abinaondoa, was also attended by the Secretary General of the General Delegation for National Security, Dominique Baya, and the founding president of POWA, Philomène Mbargangile. George Mwam has the details.
Widows in Cameroon still face numerous challenges, some of which are linked to the lack of information about the administrative procedures they should engage at the demise of their husbands in order to guarantee their rights and those of their children. For this purpose, civil status documents and a mastery of these procedures become indispensable, as highlighted by the sub-director in charge of the promotion and protection of children's rights at the Ministry of Women's Empowerment and the Family, Jean-Baptiste Niebel.
We can help widows by giving them the right information. Those who have the right information have power. How to deal with files in different administrations.
For the National Secretary General of the Police Men Wives Association, Gula Sophie Estelle, the sensitization falls in line with efforts geared towards the economic empowerment of widows of the national security.
It is good to help the widow to make sure that she can be able to take care of her children, the orphans. They should not be giving her fish every day, but they should look for a way to train her to make sure that she can be able to be independent on the short and the long term.
During the ceremony, copies of a practical guide for the legal assistance of widows were handed to the founding president of POWA, Philomène Mbargangile, by the Minister of Women's Empowerment and the Family, Professor Marie-Thérèse Abinaondoa, to be distributed to members of the association.
There is mad rush for textbooks and exercise books in most bookshops in Yaoundé as schools in Cameroon prepare to reopen their doors on Monday, September the 9th, 2024. Book vendors say although many textbooks are in stock, not all are available due to minor changes effected from the previous school year. Rita Yusembam visited some bookshops in Yaoundé and put together the following report.
This is the bustling atmosphere in bookshops across Yaoundé, where parents and students are pouring in to gather essential textbooks and exercise books as schools prepare to resume on Monday, September 9, 2024. Booksellers indicate that while they have a solid stock of the main textbooks, not all of them are currently available.
I am called Mercy Ekane, Cosmopolitan Bookshop. We are still waiting for the arrival of most of the books.
Sidwan, salesperson, Mr. Book, bilingual bookshop. We don't have all, but with time we do, because for secondary, there are completely new books. We are having already more than half. Just few are left, of which some of the publishers say they are still to reach the country. For nursery, primary, we have basically all of them, because those are old books. We still have some stock and we still have access.
They emphasize the importance of early shopping, noting that prices remain moderate, which is a relief for many families during this busy period.
Prices are already on the book that the government has chosen.
Most of the prices are maintained because everybody is obliged to maintain the official prices. The cost price for nursery books are 1,000 francs, both francophone and non-francophone, from class 1 to class 6. The highest is 1,800 and the least is 1,000 francs. So the books are affordable.
As the countdown to the new academic year continues, the message from education stakeholders is clear. Plan ahead and shop early to ensure your children are ready for success.
3 weeks to the effective start of the new school year, the registration process into primary schools is going on smoothly in the littoral region. This, however, is not the situation with the secondary education sector, where registration formalities are yet to begin. Scholar Maloke tells us more in the following report.
According to the regional delegates of basic education for the littoral Leopold Yemgan Jamin, the doors of primary institutions are never closed, even during holiday periods.
There is no condition for the subscription for it, because the obligation to us to subscribe all children. As far as public primary school is concerned, it is free. We subscribe all children who wanted to go to school because it's our duty.
In this regard, registration formalities have been going on smoothly in both nursery and primary educational institutions in the region.
Now, all things is going on very well, so that on 9 September, the school will resume.
Inasmuch as all is going on smoothly at the basic education sector, authorities of the secondary education sector in the littoral say registration for the 2024-2025 school year is still to be launched. They explained that it might be opened when the procedure for the unique student immatriculation procedure will go into effect. Meanwhile, the ball is already rolling in the basic education sector, with teams out already to seal clandestine institutions operating in the region. Scholar Maloke, CLTV News, Douala.
The third term holiday is nearing its end, and as the new academic year begins, the excitement of returning to school is mixed with feelings of anxiety and stress. Many families in Cameroon are experiencing the back-to-school stress as they prepare their children for school resumption, with many of them complaining about financial limitations. Here is an analysis of the stressful situation with Winston Lebga.
The little girl's energy is boundless, her excitement infectious, and her quick intelligence stimulating. But her mother looks worried. She is raising her four kids single-handedly, and her little Janus, aged 5, is the last and has to go to class 1. But the woman is too hard up to foot the bills for her children's education. Just like her, many parents and guardians have been gripped by a feeling of anxiety and stress. Some have cut down on the meals on the menu, cut down on meat and fish, rushing to the banks for the school fee loan and to the savings mobilization associations known in the local parlance as Njangi. Others have turned to debtors, some of whom do not pick up the phone. All they get at the other end of the telephone line is, "We are sorry, but the customer you are trying to reach is unavailable or has traveled outside the service area. You might leave a voicemail at the tone." It is said that the best way to prepare for the back-to-school period is to do so well ahead of time. But the cost of living has got so high. Prices of commodities have gone through the roof, and the pain of living minute by minute has grown so acute that some people can look at the face of death without blinking. However, every child has the right to an education, and this is indisputable.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
Onto this human interest story, an impostor known for using dubious means to extort money from victims has been presented to the press today in Yaoundé by officials of the Directorate General for National Security. Achil Abeng Abesolo, who passed for the minister delegate to the Minister of External Relations in charge of cooperation with the Commonwealth, Felix Mbayu, was apprehended while attempting to forcefully get money from the ambassador of the Democratic Republic of Congo in Cameroon. Vanessa Wutnang Snamung has more on that story.
44-year-old Achil Abeng Abesolo, alias Felix Mbayu, alias Motazeu, and alias Minister Forestry, had been using a mobile telephone number to rob his correspondents as though he were these state personalities. As explained by Superintendent of Police Vincent de Paul Meva, Assistant Research Officer at the General Delegation for National Security.
Minister Mbayu launched the complaint to the Delegate General for National national security. And he said that the owner of this number claimed belonged to him, but he doesn't know the person.
It was discovered during his apprehension in Douala that the fraudster's name already features in the database of the national security, and that this was the fourth time he was being arrested for the same offense, recurrences which can be halted if stronger laws are voted by the Cameroonian legislature, as suggested by Superintendent of Police Vincent de Paul Meva.
We have arrested Mr. Abesolo 3 times. He has been sent to prison, but after 4 months, he has been released. My suggestion is to criminalize more than 6 months.
The accused, who finally confessed, will be referred to the court of first instance in Douala and Dokoti, following territorial competence to decide of his fate. Meanwhile, the general public has been encouraged to denounce all suspicious calls to the police, who promises to do the rest.
Members of the Sawi community in Boom subdivision of the Northwest have been appeasing the gods of the land by making petitions to their ancestors for growth in the socioeconomic sectors and for peace to prevail in the community. This as a prelude to the 30th anniversary of the Lake Nyos gas disaster, in which the former Fon, His Royal Majesty Mbanga John Gwei, alongside some notables, were victims. Marianne Lantum now brings to light some of the activities of the week-long event.
The night of Thursday, August 21, 1986, remains the darkest in the history of Sawi, as about 1,850 persons lost their lives in the Lake Nyos disaster, including the late Fon, His Royal Majesty Mbanga John Gwei. In honor of the departed members of the community, the people will, for a period of 6 days, be involved in a massive mobilization to cleanse the land under the leadership of the current Fon, Gwei Emmanuel Mbang II. The rituals are said to begin with a group of elderly women known as Fubwen, who go out bare-chest, laying the foundation for the Fon to perform traditional rites in the disaster areas of Bwabwa, Subum, and Kimbi. Thereafter, His Majesty and the Queen Mother, Nefon Sen Mavel, will proceed to visit what the people describe as the Good Forest Shrine in order to seek blessings from the gods for prosperity and a return to normalcy in the village. Meantime, the royal throne is given a facelift while community members set out for the symbolic slaughtering of the ram as a sign of reconciliation at the mass graves of the victims. The 38th anniversary of the Lake Nyos disaster shall also be characterized by a sporting cultural jamboree and the cleaning of graves of some notables. Marianne Lantum, CLTV News, Bamenda.
In sports, Cameroon's top-tier champions Victoria United of Limbe and the country's 2023 Cup winners Fovu Football Club of Baham have been beaten in their first leg matches of this year's CAF competitions. Victoria United lost at home to visiting Samatex of Ghana by no goal to 1 in the CAF Champions League, while Fovu of Baham were thrashed 4-0 in Liberia by Painesville in the CAF Confederation Cup. Today, two defeats that portray the image of the country's football. Ben Collins, Nuiberua.
It is 2 seasons down the line since a Cameroonian top-flight football team qualified for the group stage of any CAF competition. That was Coton Sport of Garoua, who were eliminated in Group B that had African giants in the likes of Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa, Al Ahly of Egypt, and Al Hilal of Sudan. Since then, Cameroonian clubs have been shadows of themselves on the continental scene. Critics say the football governing body, FECAFOOT, has not been helping matters for their clubs. They say while Cameroon's flag bearers, Coton Sport, were eliminated at the preliminaries of the CAF Champions League last season, Bambuto's Football Club of Buda, that qualified to play the CAF Confederations Cup, were denied licenses. The club from the West region was accused of accumulating salaries of players. This year, Fufu Football Club of Baham traveled to Liberia within a backdrop of persistent strike actions from players who were asking for their salaries. While in Liberia, against local side Painesville that thrashed them by 4-0, Fufu played the game with just 8 players. The others had problems with their licenses. Officials of FECAFOOT, who are controlling the system, were supposed to inform clubs that their requests for licenses were problematic. Cameroon's champions that faced so much criticism from the public, Victoria United of Limbe, had the same problem in their no-goal-to-one loss to visiting Samatex of Ghana. Who is fooling who? The image of the country is at stake.
In more sports news, the 2024 National Interpools ended yesterday with Atlantique of Kribi winning the tournament. They defeated Union Sportive of Abongbang by 1-0 in the final at Ngwaekele Stadium in Yaoundé. However, the two clubs secured their promotion into the Elite 2 Championship. Harrison Ashu Tiku has a revisit of the 3 weeks competition in the following report.
10 regional outfits began to compete for promotion into the Elite 2 Championship on the 1st of August at the CAF Excellence Center in Bankoma and the Fekafu Technical Center in Oja. The clubs, who were divided into two pools, each played four group matches. At the end of the group stage, Mintak FC of Upper Sanaga and Union Sportive of Abongbang topped Pool A, while Atlantique of Kribi and Volcan of Noon advanced to the semis from Pool B. The four clubs had to take on each other at the Ngwaekele Stadium in Yaoundé for the available two tickets to the Elite 2 Championship. The first semi-final fixture pitting Volcan of Noon against Union Sportive of Abongbang produced fireworks, especially amongst the fans, who on several occasions interrupted the game. The match ended on a 1-1 draw in regular playing time. However, Union Sportive of Abongbang carried the day 3-2 in post-match penalties. After the tie, Atlantique of Kribi clinched their ticket to the Elite 2. They won Mintak FC of Upper Sanagab in the second semi-final by 8-7 in post-match penalties. In the third-place match, Mintak FC humbled Volcan of Noon by 5-1. Then came the final. Atlantique of Kribi outplayed their opponent from the East Region, Union Sportive of Abongbang, 1-0. To leave the 2024 National Interpools Trophy.
To NCRTV's afternoon edition, a reminder of our top stories. 300 million households in Africa, including Cameroon, will in the days ahead benefit from a World Bank-sponsored project to provide them with electricity. The information was disclosed today in Yaoundé by a visiting World Bank official. Out of Cameroon, the brutal rape and murder of a 7-year-old girl has sparked outrage in Ethiopia. Popular opinion there is unanimous that the 25-year jail term slammed on the perpetrator is too lenient. And in sports, the two Cameroonian clubs in continental competition have failed to stamp their mark on their first leg fixtures. In the CAF Champions League, Victoria United were beaten 1-0 in Douala by Samatex of Ghana, while Fovu were overpowered 4-0 in Liberia by local side Pennsville FC in the CAF Confederations Cup. And that's a wrap on CRTV's afternoon edition. My name is Doris Batitatoekwe. Thanks for listening. Ariel Olivia Zoua is here with a summary of the news in French. Good afternoon, Ariel.
Bon après-midi, Doris. Ouvrons ce condensé par l'économie avec la validation du nouveau cadre de partenariat financier par le conseil d'administration de la Banque mondiale. Celui-ci octroie au Cameroun un financement d'un montant de 1 208 milliards de francs CFA. C'est l'essentiel à retenir de l'audience ce jour entre le ministre de l'économie, de la planification et de l'aménagement du territoire, Alamine Ousmane Mey, et Abdoul Salam Bello, administrateur de la Banque mondiale. Le projet d'approvisionnement en eau potable de la ville de Yaoundé et ses environs sera officiellement mis en service demain mardi à Bachenga par le ministre de l'Eau et de l'Énergie, Gaston Elundou-Issoma, représentant du président de la République. Une infrastructure d'une capacité de production de 300 000 mètres cubes d'eau par jour et qui va résorber le déficit en eau. Rentrée scolaire 2024, l'heure est aux préparatifs. De nombreux parents usent des différentes astuces pour offrir des manuels à leur progéniture. Entre les tontines et les épargnes, les raisons varient. Dans les établissements scolaires, l'on observe une timidité. Malgré les ajustements forcés, le stress financier gagne du terrain. Célébration de la première édition de la Journée internationale des veuves de la sécurité, de la sûreté nationale, la ministre de la Promotion de la Femme et de la Famille, Marie-Thérèse Abenandoua, en présence du secrétaire général de la DGSN, a présidé ce lundi une rencontre qui vise l'encadrement et l'accompagnement de ces veuves, une initiative de la Police Wife Association en abrégé POA. En sport, Interpol 2024, Atlantic FC de Kribi est le vainqueur de la compétition. Union sportive d'Abomban occupe le second rang. La troisième place, quant à elle, est revenue à Mintak FC. Union sportive d'Abomban et Atlantic FC de Kribi vont désormais évoluer en élite 2. Fin de ce condensé.